Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What did we just observe? This is probably one of the areas where things become controversial. And I'm just saying, in all honesty, there's groups that divide over something like this. But I happen to be a Lutheran pastor. I strongly believe in infant baptism because I understand, and I'm not making a brag, I'm not trying to speak for you is what I'm trying to say. That it's not about what we can do for God, it's what God promises to us, the coming of Christ Jesus. In this infant baptism, we're acknowledging the union that Christ Jesus has created between us and God the Father. We were separated with sin. And now by that finished work of Jesus Christ, we are drawn back. We are joined back. And these children are His. Now, it's not to say that if we didn't do this, that these children wouldn't have salvation. That's not what it's about. But there is a promise of salvation in and through this, through communion. There is a means of grace, as we can see it, that God is pouring His grace out before us. And so as we heard in some of the readings, we're going to continue to read in that direction. We're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to read from chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 15 through 17. I'm just going to say stay seated. There's so many of you with children today, and we've already stood once, so let's just stay seated for the short reading. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 18. We'll read verses 15 through 17, reading in Jesus' name. Now they were bringing even infants to Him that He might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked Him. And Jesus called them to Him, saying, "Let the little children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not there enter in." Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is Your word that's before us, and we ask by the power of Your Spirit that men and flesh would be silent and that You would speak and allow, Father, that this truth would sanctify us. We ask that this truth would continually be there each and every day. Thank You, Father. Amen. I'm not coming here to preach that this text is a definite pointer to infant baptism. That's not my job. I don't need to do that. The interesting part of this is it really talks about how Christ Jesus desires to have this fellowship with everyone. And I know how it is. We all are busy people. I'm busy. I got this place to run, if I could say in that way. I got Lefty to run, if I could say in that way. And I also have my family to deal with, and I have projects of my own that I'm always trying to do. We get pretty caught up. I'm sure all of you else are just sitting home eating bonbons. No, it's not true. You're not. You guys don't stop. You guys work all the time. And so we can get the mindset of, in your business, in your life, whatever you're doing, all of a sudden a little toddler walks in and you got customers, you got this, you got that, and you're like, hold on, go play. How many of you ever heard that word? Those are two words, right? Go play. That's often what we have a tendency to do. When we're doing adult things, we have a tendency to tell everybody else, go play. And Jesus wants them to come play with Him. He wants to spend time with them. He wants to bless them. He wants to encourage them. They are His. And that's really what takes place here in this baptism, that we're acknowledging that wonderful work of Jesus Christ for all of humanity. Not just a sect of people. Not just a certain group. Now, it's received by grace through faith. Oh, but children don't believe. Oh, yeah? Let me take little Leighton away from Mama. And what's going to happen? Maybe not, but majority of times they're going to bawl, they're going to scream. They have this faith, they have this trust of Mom or of Dad. Children have faith. And see, we're acknowledging that full understanding that God has poured His grace upon all flesh. But sometimes we turn this act into, we're busy doing adult things, now go away. And I love it because I have a friend that comes to me and He's done it, you know, years ago. I haven't seen him for quite a few years, and he sat in my dining room, and he was telling me all about the age of accountability. I asked him where it was. Show me that in Scripture. He kept telling me about it. Show me. After a few minutes of back and forth, and I didn't say anything different, I'm just like, show me. And he looked at me, and he's a powerful preacher. I love the man. He said, I can't. I can't find it in Scripture. It's not there. Now, we like to stand on our high horse, and we like to act like as Lutherans that we don't have this age of accountability. That's foolishness. We do. It's called confirmation. And I'm not a big fan of it. I think oftentimes, if we were to be honest, a lot of our students, a lot of our people think confirmation is called graduation. But the reality of it is, if that a child can receive by faith baptism, why can't a young individual by faith receive communion? They can. They can. And if I have anybody come to the communion rail that I don't know and they have, a 9-year-old child with them and they're at the rail, I'm going to ask every single time, are they communed? And if they say yes, then I commune them. You cannot receive one by faith and not the other. They are means of grace received by faith. But we like to play games on all sides of the track. But that's not what this text is about. This text is about Jesus' love for all of us. Those things we can argue as pastors, those things we can argue as denominations, which is so silly. If we come back to the understanding, how are we saved? By grace through faith. That's how we're saved. Whether we want to admit it or not, we say it all the time. This text doesn't pick up here just for some crazy reason. It actually is very, very inclusive. There's a persistent widow in the beginning of chapter 18. She has a need. So she continually asks for this need to be fulfilled. And what Jesus is trying to bring to our attention is, if we have a need, if we have a worry, stop turning to the world. Stop turning to man's theology or understandings and look to Jesus Christ. Look to God the Father. And continue to ask. I've had many people in my life that have said, God must be sick of hearing me. Oh, I have a hard time with that statement. I don't think God is ever sick of hearing from us. It says in the Scripture that we are to continually, persistently pray. It says in the Scripture that even when we don't know what to pray for, in our frustration, it goes before the Lord, a sigh as a prayer. This is how close our God is with us. He desires for this. So he's saying, if you have a need, if you have something, it's not a game. Continue. Ask. Seek. Knock. Whatever it takes, continue to ask of the Father. So that's kind of how this gets opened up. And then we have the other side, all business. We have this Pharisee. So you can picture Jesse up here on Communion Sunday with his tie and his nice suit, and he looks really professional, and you can say, he must be the pastor. And then we have this tax collector, which in Judaism was considered a very bad thing. Matthew was a tax collector. And they don't like that. We all love tax collectors, don't we? So we get the point to a degree. So you have the Pharisee standing there and he's saying, boy, I've got it all figured out. Lord, I'm thankful I'm not like this guy. That's how I am in my flesh. That's how I am in my flesh. And God says, don't stay there. But you have this individual that understands his role isn't the most glorious role. He understands his life isn't going in the best direction. And that's what I'm going to say on the aspect of a sinner side. He says very plainly, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And so you have the understanding of, I'm all business, I got it all figured out, I know what I'm doing, And boy, I'm glad I'm not like this guy. And you have another individual that says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says very plainly, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, seeking for the grace of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's all it is. Seeking for the grace of God. But so many times we turn religion into a system where we think we can follow the dots and figure it all out. So now pastor's saying, well, don't bother going to church at all. Don't bother doing any of that stuff. That's not what I'm saying. It's real. What is first and foremost in your life? Today is a celebration. Whether we have it right or wrong, the glory of it is that we are coming here today to celebrate children that God has blessed us with, and we desire for these children to have a relationship with the Father. How serious is that? I'm not picking on just one family or two families. I'm looking at all sides of the church. I'm looking at my life. Am I a sinner in need of mercy? Or do I have it all figured out? Brother and sister in Christ, I'm here to share with you. I am a sinner in need of mercy. And God says yes. God says yes. In and through the finished work of Jesus Christ, I give the mercy. I give the gift. So don't be like the Pharisee and think you got it all figured out. Look to the individual that just seeks for mercy. So then we come down to the point. After he has the conversation about continually seeking God, asking God to intervene, asking God to help you in the situation, we have the scenario of the one that thinks he's got it all figured out and the one that is just asking for mercy. And then people heard him. They heard. And they were bringing their children to him. And in the Greek, this is infant. 2 months, about 2 months old, we could say. Not that the age is a real thing, but it's an infant. It's not a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 14-year-old. And I'm telling you, we have a lot of serious business going on here. And now people, look at, there's a baby crying. Should we just stop now? No, we thank God. We thank God for the infant's voice. We thank God for new life. We thank God for the blessings that he's given to each and every one of us. And that's really what comes across in this text, is they wanted to be all business and all serious. And Jesus says very plainly, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? You know, there's times that, you know, there's happened, and we know it's little Myra, so I'll say it. Little Myra sometimes has wandered around, and she comes wandering over here, and she comes walking up here. My heart rejoices over that. My heart rejoices over that. Don't ever think that your child wandering or anything in the house of God is a bad thing. I wish we would all have the freedom. Now, I don't want you all to start rushing up here. But I wish we would all have the freedom to come to the throne of God, not that I am, the altar of God, in boldness. And this is really what he's saying. Why are you guys acting so serious? Why are you acting like it's all business? This is the business. To love, to encourage. What is the business of your faith? And I'm asking the question to myself, just as I ask it to you. Is it figuring out the exact right theology to argue dogmatics? Is it to figure out who's in and who's out? Did they say the right prayer? Did they have the right hand laid on them? Did they do the right steps? Or is it in the finished work of Jesus Christ and him alone? Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. He says yes. These other things will work out.
But if we don't have Christ Jesus right in our life, all the other things become men's religion. Men's religion.
So they're bringing these infants to him. Why? That he would bless them, that he would touch them. And it's kind of funny. We kind of look at this in like a distant land, like where this is odd. But how odd is this? If we were to go to a concert, if we were to go to a baseball game, if we were to go to anything that we idolize, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, that we really look up to, that we enjoy, and we saw a pro player, a pro singer, a pro anything, one of the first things that people would do is ask for, autograph. Well, you're pointing at her. Yeah. So anyways, an autograph. So we could kind of see this to a degree, right? We get excited when we encounter somebody like this. But the fact of it is, these people wanted what Jesus offered. Not an autograph, but blessing. They wanted blessing in their life. They had plenty of religion out there. Oh, don't get me wrong. Look around here. We have plenty of religion. But do we have faith? And do we understand the gift of God through Christ Jesus and Him alone? I'm not belittling anybody, probably but myself. They didn't want these people to do this because we got serious business to do. There's nothing more serious than loving your children and encouraging them to grow in the Lord. I've heard a statement lately, and this is kind of an interesting one. And it's not a new statement, it's an old statement. Well, I'm not going to bring my kids to church. I'm not going to do any of this stuff. I'm going to let them figure out when they get older. Okay? How about you do it the other way? Bring them to church. Get them involved. And see if they want to leave it later. That's the reality of it. And that kind of blows me away. Raise up your child in the Lord, and when he gets old or she gets old, they will not leave it. That's the reality. So they're bringing him to him. And the disciples see this, and they're like, hold on. They rebuked him. It doesn't mean that they just said, oh, wait. They actually chastised these people. What are you doing? And there would be some that would chastise us for what we did today. And that just makes me marvel. Like they have something above God. They have something above Christ. I'm not telling anybody what to do, but I'm embracing the blessing of Jesus Christ in these children's lives. God has done this work in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now we can go to the New Testament, and there's a lot of arguments on that side of the road. Of who and who shouldn't be. All I read, entire households. Might be a weak one, I don't know. But it seems strong enough 1,500 years ago. Why have we all of a sudden got brighter? I don't know. But they're sitting there rebuking them, telling them, don't do this. And Jesus turns around and says, what are you doing? He called them. This is something important to him. And he's calling to us today. And he's saying these very words. Let the children come to me. Let them come to me. Now remember, these are infants. These infants weren't walking to Jesus. It said the parents were bringing them there. Let them come. He says, don't hinder them. Don't stop them. He says, this is the basis of the kingdom of God. He says, I'm telling you the truth. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God when they're a child. Does it say that? Someone say no. Judy said no. It doesn't say that. That's often what people try to do too. He says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child. A childlike faith.
Maybe I'm just a simple preacher. I am not a theologian at all. I'll admit I'm pretty dumb in these areas. Nothing in my hands I bring, but solely to the cross I cling. You bring them to Jesus and allow his Spirit and his Word to do the work. I have no problem, zero problem, if anybody doesn't believe in this understanding. But I have a problem when they try to rob it from someone else. That's where the issue becomes. And I've seen it multiple times. It's almost like what you received as a child is not enough, and now you must do more. That is so false. The gift that God gives is a perfect gift, and they have received everything that they have need of. But now, in this faith, nurturing them in the Lord, nurturing them in the church, bringing them around the hearing of the word, this faith will grow, and it will continue to mature. This is a reality. There's people that come to me and say, but Pastor, later in life I felt like I had to do this to recommit myself. Well, then that's a recommitment. I have no problem with that. But don't say what I received as a child means nothing. If we say that, then we're saying the prodigal son, when he came back to the father, had to make a deal. And we know he tried. He said, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to go do something, and I'm going to tell my father a little plan, and I'm going to figure it out. And the father doesn't even listen to him. Why? Because the father never left his promise. God has promised something to Leighton and to Harvey today. And it's not about what we did. It's about his word. And there may be a chance, in all honesty, that these children may take a different path later in life. But it doesn't mean that God takes his eyes off them. When we turn back and we come back to the Father in faith, he receives us with open arms. It's not an act we do. It is a promise he makes. You are so blessed. God not only gave you a beautiful child or more, and maybe more later, but he has also blessed them, children, with the power of his Spirit. And he blessed you with it because you're here today. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.